I'm Heidi Holton. Thanks for choosing this KAXE KBXE conversation. We are member-supported radio, a National Public Radio affiliate in northern Minnesota. We need your support for our radio broadcasts, our online content, and our podcast. Go to KAXE.org, and thanks for listening. About 5 years ago, KAXE KBXE had the pleasure of meeting up with a poet, first at our Beat Cafe, then at our Mississippi River Festival. Northern Minnesota then began to get a taste of Klecko, the poet, the baker, the man with one name. In the years since, not only has he continued to write and bake, but he's been through a lot. His latest book of poetry is his most personal. It's called Hitman, Baker, Casket Maker, Aftermath of an American's Clash with ICE. Klecko, welcome back to KAXE, KBXE, or as you like to call it, The Axe.
Yeah, greetings to the Bold North from the capital city, and it's always great to be on the Axe. it's been a little bit of a time, but always in my heart. So we're at 7 below, so we're a little bit warmer than you guys down here.
That's right. Tomorrow we'll all be wearing shorts. It'll be fine.
Right, right, absolutely. So what are we talking about? What do you want to do?
We want to talk about your book, your poetry. But here's the thing.
First thing, is your bakery still closed?
The bakery will never return. It's never going to return. Kind of what this is all about. You know, everybody who worked there is still working other places, but they just blew up the best bread crew in the history of Minnesota.
Okay, well, we'll get to that.
I want to hear about that. But, you know, as I read your book and as I finished it up, I was kind of struck by how I feel like I knew the things that matter to you more than if you had written this as a memoir. There's something about poetry that is even more personal than a memoir. Is that true? Am I sensing something?
I think it's very true. And I would preface that by saying good poetry, because there's a lot of crappy poetry out there. And I'm not saying that to be critical. I'm just saying it because it's true. And a lot of people get turned off by bad poetry. But I think the key with any artistic form is brevity. My poetry is a lot like, Hemingway's writing, because I don't use a lot of adjectives. I don't have a lot of lengthy descriptions. I mean, we want to get straight to the emotion and straight to the point with poetry. Not one poem in this book exceeds a page. Everything is about 20 to 24 lines, and I try to tell, you know, an entire story in that 20 lines.
So before we get into the issues within your poetry, would you read a poem for us?
I would. I'm going to read real quick. I'm going to talk about, so when we got, we ran into our difficulties as we were hosting the Super Bowl here several years ago. We had all the bread contracts at St. Agnes. Everybody wanted me to comment, but if I would have commented, I just could have started levying fines. And so because I couldn't comment, the media came in and they made up lies. Let's start off with my friends, the media jackals. The Vikings lost. The city was numb. The media needed a story. They stirred until they found their morsel. Klecko fumbles during the Super Bowl. City scrambles for bread. Media jackals barrage the bakery, circling the wounded, looking for quotes. Because I wanted to pay my employees, because I wanted to pay my purveyors, I had to comment. No comment. The moment I made our demise official, ICE would level fines. A reporter from WCCO-TV entered our office. After receiving a no comment response, she lied by reporting that 5 supervisors fled because they were afraid of ICE. Days later, city pages reported the same, underneath a Photoshop picture of ICE raiding a building that was meant to depict our bakery. They compromised our dignity for headlines, insinuating we were cowards, knowing we were helpless, and in no position to defend ourselves. Thank you.
Danny Klecko. We are talking about his new book of poetry that's out. It's called Hitman, Baker, Casket Maker, Aftermath of an American's Clash with ICE. So let's talk about the story. Tell us about your employees. Tell us what happened.
Well, basically what happened, we had worked together for 25 years, and it goes deeper than just the bakery. I worked for, you know, almost three decades in the capital city, which is a sanctuary city. And in sanctuary cities across America, the Mexicans are encouraged to come on up. It's tongue-in-cheek, and no capital city can really service itself. I mean, it brings in outside labor, so that's what we had done for 30 years. But once again, during the Super Bowl, we had an I-9 audit. It was quite tacit, but 23 of the I-9s came up dirty. And so they said those employees had to be gone within 10 days. And most of those people I'd worked with for 25 years, and they were supervisors, and they were the best in the field. It's kind of like breaking up the Yankees, and then there's just no way I could replace that and service the Super Bowl. So that's kind of what's how, you know, it happened real quick.
How much? You must have lost a lot of money.
I lost everything.
Uh-huh.
I lost everything. A lot of people did. But more important, you know, Clark was like Don Draper. He'll get it back. And I'm not worried about that. But, you know, what I am worried about is they took away my crew. And a crew, anyone who's worked with the crew, I love these people. I mean, it's as bad, if not worse, than losing your family. And that might sound weird, but, you know, family gets annoyed with you. Crew, you're working on art together day after day, year after year. I'll never get those people back.
Well, this is a compelling, that is the compelling story that informs, as you just read, in other poems in this book. But there's a lot of poems here that are going other places in terms of sports, in terms of food, in terms of, as Heidi said, little stories, little vignettes from your life that are put in poetry form. And you have one called The Boat, which I couldn't help but notice, and because I like to be in my boat on the water. You have one called Fight of the Century. I watched the 1972 World Series. You have one on the Oakland A's of 1972. You have two, I think, about the A's in 1972. Tell us about your interest in sports.
Well, a lot of it, you know, with the book, I didn't want to just bum people out because you don't get anywhere. And I needed to support bad with beauty. And that's a nice way to frame it. But, you know, so a lot of it, you know, I just grew up in, you know, a product of, you know, trying to find myself through sports. You know, a lot of bad things happened in my life, but, you know, that the nice thing is about having positive memories, and sports are a good way to do that. So the Ollie Frazier fight was fantastic, and my grandfather's generation all liked the Yankees. That's why we liked the A's, because they wore, like, lime green uniforms and mustaches. But, you know, you want to take people for the full ride, the full experience, and we try to encapsulate that in, what, 119 pages, something like that.
When did you fall in love with baking?
Yeah, I've done it. This year I started my 40th year. I probably, in home ec, I dedicated the book to the home ec teachers of District 281. That's another story. But, you know, it was mandatory for us to take it in 1976, and it was discouraged. I mean, that was seventh grade for me, starting junior high, but all the men in our neighborhood told us, don't resist, but don't enjoy it, because it was considered, you know, queer to cook, and in my neighborhood, to be queer was frowned upon. And in the district, it was, you know, kind of cutting edge to give us that opportunity. And I'll tell you, sixth period with Miss Williams, she put me at a table with three young ladies, and we made apple crisp, and I mean, the rest is history. I've never touched a wrench after that. I've been baking since that, you know, since that day.
You know, speaking of the wrench, I love that poem that about your grandfather seeing your toolbox. Can you either read it or tell us that story?
Yeah, well, I'll have to sketch in my book, but yeah, you know, anyone who's had a grandfather knows that. You know, they're always looking for you to do. I'm looking for it right here.
Okay.
Here we go. It's called My First Toolbox. One might suggest it was the result of growing up without a father. Others have offered, it's merely genetic disposition. Either way, I've come to terms with it. I lack mechanical aptitude. I'll never forget the time my grandfather stopped by my apartment, how his eyes sparkled when he spotted my Craftsman toolbox on the kitchen table. He opened it without permission, but just as the examination started, his enthusiasm waned when he noticed the contents were fondant molds and pastry tips. Though the moment was awkward, I remained secure in my masculinity, but when he picked up my textbook, Wilton's Course in Flowers and Cake Design, what I would have given to have an ample place to hide. Thank you.
That's Klecko reading from his new book that's out, his poetry, Hitman, Baker, Casket Maker, Aftermath of Americans Clash with ICE. If you don't mind, I'd like to go back to that clash, and you talked about sanctuary cities. So we're in this 2020 election cycle. I think it was just even earlier this week, the President Trump announced kind of going ICE going into sanctuary cities. This is not going away, and both the left and the right kind of seem to forget that we need workers, that these are human beings, a few essential things like that. Klecko, what's your take on that?
Well, my take is I'm not blaming the right or the left on this. I'm blaming you, white middle-class people, or white people with good income sources, because this has been going on for a long time. And when people think they're helping it by hitting like on Facebook, it's going to take a little bit more than that. It takes people to unite. It takes people to stand firm. But more than anything, to just start the topic. People are afraid. I've been touring. I've already been to D.C., and I'm going back to close the book tour in April. But I've been going everywhere across the Twin Cities and around the state of Minnesota, having conversations with people, just telling them you need to start talking and supporting, because every time you go into a hotel and someone makes your bed, every time someone hands you a Big Mac, that person on the other side is living in abject fear. And we are better than that as Americans. We are better than letting the government. I mean, this country was founded on stolen land, but now we're supplementing it by stealing labor from these people and then kicking them out when they're, you know, it's one thing to have people who come across undocumented, but it's another thing to seduce them over here, which is the case. And that's been going on, and people aren't brave enough to talk about that. So just real quick, to let you know, I am working on a sequel to this called Hitman Baker Troublemaker, and it really starts where the book Casket Maker goes into print. And to be quite honest with you, the book starts, the second book, the sequel, starts in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. So it's kind of exciting for all my friends up in Axe Land that you guys are going to launch the next wave of the Klecko rant.
We'll put the party on.
No, I love it. I love it.
Scott, I gave Scott the book after I read it so he would do his homework as we talked to you today, Klecko. And not only did he read it, but he was reading it aloud with the person he was with. They were supposed to be working on another project, but instead they were reading aloud from your book.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
The one part of your title I still haven't quite figured out, maybe because I haven't read every poem, is Casket Maker.
Yeah, that's because the casket maker was my father, and the father who's mentioned. I only saw my father twice in my life, and that's when he took me to the Ollie Frazier fight at the Met in Bloomington. We watched on the cable, only like 17,000 people, I think, in the state of Minnesota got to witness it, and I was the only kid. But the second time was when I was actually going to baking school, I found out that he lived, or rather worked, blocks away from where I was living while I was going to school, and he worked in a casket company. He made caskets. What the book doesn't tell you is on the day when I met him, he was working on this big white casket. He told me it was the Cadillac, and he said that was the one he was going to be buried in. But 6 weeks later, he died in a car accident, and they did bury him in that casket. I couldn't write that because it almost seemed unbelievable. But that's what he did for a trade.
Well, Klecko, it's been great to talk to you again. His new book of poetry is out, Hitman, Baker, Casket Maker, Aftermath of an American's Clash with ICE. You can find it online or at bookstores in northern Minnesota, like the Village Bookstore in Grand Rapids or Cattails in downtown Brainerd. We thank you so much for talking with us, and we're looking forward to the next one.
Grand Rapids, once again, you can also find it on Paris Morning Publications website, but if not, it's always a pleasure, and thanks for having me. Stay warm, guys, and we'll talk down the road.
Sounds great.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Klecko. You're listening to the Thursday Morning Show.